is Davin's Den.
Okie dokie, we are back. Every segment should be started with okie dokie. So we got a lot to cover. We'll get into this Shane Gillis Saturday Night Live thing. I got a whole bunch of stuff. I got personal. I've worked with the guy, and I was telling Pip at the top. I was working with comics who are friendly with the guy.
Oh, you actually work with him?
Shane?
Yeah.
He opened for him. I'll get into that. Whole various aspects of it. So I'm going to go through the story. I'm going to play the audio, one of the audio things of what he said.
Yeah.
Go through more of the story. Then I'll do my take. You guys can jump in then because I got a lot of thoughts on it. So we'll do it like that as opposed to the normal way we do this stuff.
Okay.
Just fight about it.
We'll get there.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Okay, so new Saturday Night Live, well, not as it turns out. He was hired to be the new Saturday Night Live cast member. Shane Gillis issued a statement in response to criticism over racially insensitive comments he made as part of his podcast. According to footage resurfaced by journalist Seth Simons, the comedian is heard using a racial slur against people of Chinese descent in a September 2018 episode of his show with Matt McCusker, Matt and Shane's secret podcast. I will play that. Come on, you motherfucker. That's on my podcast. All right, let me
They just built one fucked up looking building, and people were like, all right, no one said anything.
Let's fucking chinks live there, huh?
Well, they built these fucking, like, huge Shanghai houses. The first one must have infuriated everyone. They were like, what the fuck?
What are you guys doing here? Get these ducks out of that window.
You know what? Yeah, true. Also, I'm always like, how can there be so many fucking restaurants down here?
All restaurants, because
you go in, there's like one person eating ever.
Fat white idiots like me are down there,
true.
Sucking down neuters.
I hate China. I hate the food in Chinatown. Sucks. Chinese food's a very dishonest cuisine.
I don't even want to think about it.
They invented a fucking chemical to put in their food to make it delicious, dude. They made it as an MSG.
Good for them.
It's a dishonest food, dude. There's nothing. There's nothing to it. It's shitty
very
meat.
Honorable.
Shitty meat. A chemical they made up to fuck your body up, and neuters.
The neuters are fucking
cheapest great. Thing in the world.
We got
chemical.
Sick.
Worst meat you can find.
We got in there and we sat down, and baby girl was like, "I'm so excited for neuters," and I was like, "Yo, chill." She was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry."
She said neuters.
Yeah. And there's a fucking and it's full fucking Chinese in there. It's like it's such
wasn't that isn't that kind of like nice though? Isn't that the being like, when people go into like a Mexican restaurant, like, I'll have two tacos? Like, I'll have a bowl of spicy neuters.
But we had it in the translation between you and the waiter. Yeah, it's just such a fucking hassle. It's like, I'm pointing at it. Like, this is the fucking neuter.
Well, that's why I put number for like 57.
Yeah, this one, even with the fucking shit, I was pointing. I was like, that sauce. That. That one. She's like, She's like, am I medium or spicy? Medium. No medium. Spicy.
All right. So I will continue. So basically, let me just get this set up for us. Whoops. Technical shit I do. All right. So he said Chinatown's fucking nuts. He says at one point in the conversation, which has since been deleted, followed by "Let the fucking chinks live here." That's the thing. So in another episode, first highlighted by Vulture. What a fucking name.
Yeah.
Gillis and McCusker.
I'm Blue Hawk. I don't know what the problem is.
You guys should get along, man.
I know.
Gillis and McCusker ranked the talent of other comedians based on ethnicity and gender and use a homophobic slur. When discussing the approach of comics like Judd Apatow and Chris Gethard, they described them as white faggot comics. In May, he's heard on a podcast calling presidential candidate Andrew Yang a Jew chink.
Wow.
Yang has offered to sit down with Gillis. It turns out Gillis reached out to him, and they are supposed to sit down and talk. Yang actually went on record and said he did not, it's hurtful. You know, and doesn't like this type of language. But Yang said, I don't think he should be fired for it.
Right.
That's the this happened just hours after it was announced. It was like 3 hours. Shane's announced. He posted this statement on Twitter, and then this is an apology because the shit hit the fan about 3 hours after it was announced.
Oh my God.
I'm a comedian who pushes boundaries. I sometimes miss. If you go through my 10 years of comedy, most of it bad, you're going to find a lot of misses. I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said. My intention is never to hurt anyone, but I'm trying to be the best comedian I can be, and sometimes that requires risks. So he was among three SNL cast members set to join the sketch show. He was supposed to join Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang. Yang, who's a child of Chinese immigrants, is the show's only Asian American series regular.
Right.
SNL had not responded, so they let this hang until Monday. By the way,
yeah.
Lauren was taking the temperature of the room.
I think. I think so.
So the response was swift online and strong. CNN opinion writer Jeff Yang tweeted that if you want to know what being a person of color is like, it's literally that for every Bowen Yang shaped step you take forward, you also take one racist ass Shane Gillis shaped step back. Gillis is just the latest example of comedians' past comments gaining new attention in the online world. Trevor Noah saw backlash to some of his old tweets, which were deemed offensive toward women and Jews, when it was announced he was replacing Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. Kevin Hart stepped down from hosting this year's Oscar after his post-homophobic tweet surfaced. Sarah Silverman recently revealed she was fired from a movie after producers found a sketch from 2007 that she said she deeply regrets. She wore blackface makeup. And then, yes, what?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you were reaching out for something.
Reach out and touch someone.
It looks like that, yeah.
Sorry, I was just leaning.
So then Monday, he got fired. So this is the Saturday Night Live statement. After talking with Shane Gillis, we've decided that he will not be joining SNL, says a show spokesperson on behalf of SNL boss Lorne Michaels. We want SNL to have a variety of voices and points of view within the show. And we hired Shane on the strength of his talent as comedian and his impressive audition for SNL. We were not aware of his prior remarks that have surfaced over the past few days. The language he used is offensive, hurtful, and unacceptable. We are sorry that we did not see these clips earlier and that our vetting process was not up to our standard. All right, so that's the story. Let me talk about my experiences with him.
Yeah.
So he worked a club I brought Joe to in the South,
mm-hmm.
Tourist Town. He was my opening act for the week. He also brought his show co-host Matt McCusker with him, who worked as the host. So I don't think they even had the podcast. I seem to recall them in the condo talking about starting a podcast. So he had just come off a tour of one-nighters in the Deep South. So he was probably in his late 20s at the time. And he's a Pennsylvania Philly-type comic.
Okay.
From that area. I think he's from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, originally. So he's a Yankee.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't done that tour, but I've done Southern Deep South one-nighter tours. When you're a young Yankee comic, you learn.
Oh,
it can be rough. It was rough for me. You know, you learn. You go, okay, this works, this doesn't work. They're looking at me this way, that way, the other way.
Right.
It's a fucking education experience. When I did it, I used to go down there a lot, and it made me a better comic. But we were now in the South, but in a tourist town,
mm-hmm.
in a big tourist town, and he was opening his shows by saying how stupid the people in the South are.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you told me about it. Oh, that was him?
That was him, my friend.
Woo.
He was opening. He dug himself such a hole. Every show but one, they did not like him. The one show.
I know the
film. What?
I know the
film. Yeah, but you didn't do that.
No, I know.
One show they liked him. Every other, and I'm just, what? And I didn't, you know, I'm not going to give him advice or anything.
Right.
I'm not that guy anymore. If you ask me for advice.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm just going, why is this guy fucking doing this to himself?
Yo, why are you shooting yourself in the foot?
Why are you shitting on the audience like that? So, all right. So this weekend, I worked with comics that know and consider themselves friends on some level or another with Shane. So they have, you know, obviously this is the talk this past weekend. This is before he got fired. Every comic has a fucking opinion, which is fine.
Yeah.
Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about Shane. He's the backing of a big club in Philly. They have supported him. They have moved him along to headline. He has passed me in clubs that I've been playing for years.
Okay.
He has passed me because he's got this backing.
Okay.
He's playing places I've never gotten a sniff at.
Do you think that his ability is worthy of that?
It doesn't really matter what the ability is.
Okay.
Now, I will say this. I saw a clip of him because he did something for Comedy Central, a 6-minute clip, and it's pretty funny.
Okay.
But But yeah, I mean, yeah, but whatever. It's a 6-minute clip, but I saw that. And so yeah, he's got some good material. Whatever. I know what I can bring to the stage.
Right.
I know how long I can do it for. That. But whatever. So here's the thing. So he closes some of the open mics at his home club.
Okay.
There. This is all hearsay. I'm hearing this from other comics. And what he will do is he'll close the show. And it's not unusual where you have a pro, local pro, close the show after an open mic,
yeah,
whatnot. And he'll just, like, tell the audience, go, wow, you guys saw an awful show. And just, like, shit on the open micers. And I am not a fan of that type of thing, especially open micers. I mean, they're brand new.
No, you don't do that. You try to be supportive.
Yeah, I mean, like, even with us, like, you know, I'll be vicious to Joe, but if Joe has a bad set, that's not when I'm vicious.
No.
You know, after Joe and I have the conversation, what do you think, workshop it, this is it, or, you know, you're overreacting, you did fine, get out of your own head, whatever the conversation is, then later on, I may say something like, fucking poke him. But right after you have a set, you're supportive.
Right.
Or you don't say anything.
Right.
But I certainly would not, if Joe just ate his dick in front of me, I would not shit on him in front of an audience.
Right.
No, you don't.
No, that's...
You don't do that.
Yeah, you enjoying kicking the puck.
You know,
if
you want to be a dick, you know the guy, you'll bust his balls.
Sure,
if I mean
my dick, there's one laugh. It's Joe in the back.
Yeah, right.
He knows where the laughs are supposed to be and where they're not.
That's the fun.
Exactly.
Well, during my 7 minutes of shit routine that will never be revisited.
There is nothing where you send a line that everywhere you get an applause break and it gets nothing.
Right,
and you just hear your buddy laugh.
That's what I heard. Gavin laughing at me.
One of the worst and the best feelings in the fucking world simultaneously.
Yes. It's like, okay, you know what? This is miserable, but at least my buddy's here to see it, and we can talk about it later and laugh about how miserable it was.
Oh, this is hysterical, even though you want to shoot yourself.
Yes.
You bomb it.
So the other guy started with him. I was working with two of these guys this weekend. Right. The other guy started with them, and I guess there's a subreddit on their podcast.
Oh.
And he goes,
calm down, Joe.
So the comic I'm working with,
it's a sore spot.
The comic I'm working with goes to Shane. Goes, there's a lot of blatant, really racist shit on this subreddit. And Shane says, yeah, we just try to ignore it. I'm bringing this shit up for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm trying to add context. I really don't know this guy,
right?
But these people do, and I've had a little bit of experience. So let me try to unpack this a little bit. First, I want to say, listen, I get that it's hard to go against your fans. I get that.
Yeah.
You don't want to alienate the people that love you.
Right.
I totally get that.
Sure.
So you have to decide what you want to do. But if you ignore the racism, it kind of implies that you're okay with it, even if you might not be.
Right.
It kind of gives them the signal that this is okay, whereas opposed to you popping it and they go, hey, guys, I'm glad you love the show, but we don't condone this. We might say some outrageous shit, but we don't really mean this. So,
but not this.
Yeah, this is too far.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah, of course.
But I get why they didn't. So anyway, first of all, let me say, I don't like where we are in a society where as soon as something good happens for somebody, everybody tries to tear them down.
Yeah.
That's a real fucking sickness.
It is.
And the people that take glee out of tearing it down, they're not better than the people that fucked up.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, they're probably more insecure than the people who fucked up because they're like, oh, goody, it's not just me. Let me watch their misery.
Right, but then listen, I get it. You're reporting, you want to make the news and everything. But, I mean, for this shit to come out 3 hours after, it was like, all right, let's Google this guy and let's just hit everything. So I don't like that.
They released the dogs.
That's where the society is right now.
Yes.
And the thing about it is, we're discussing, you know, obviously a comic that was trying to get on Saturday Night Live. The guy's an entertainer. You have this one guy, Seth Simons, who's trying to tear him down. Let me tell you something right now. The way things are going right now, it's going to transcend the entertainment business where you get hired for a job, a regular day job, regular civilian gets hired for a job, and some asshole put something up there that you said 9 years
that
ago.
That already happened.
And
it already happened.
That's where we are right now. What this is poison, and it's destroying a society.
Okay. So we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Now here's maybe where we're not going to agree. Again, I'll get my take. You guys can jump in.
Okay.
I don't like the stance that comics are taking that we get to say shocking shit And then when people are shocked and outraged, we run away from it. How could people be shocked and outraged? No! No! There's either two things. Either you are a racist in this particular case, or you said something to be shocking. And if you said something to be shocking, that's fine. But don't be surprised when people are shocked and outraged. You did it to get noticed, which is fine. I'm not. Listen, I say a ton of hard. I say it to my audiences. I said it at my last show Saturday. I say terrible things. I go, and you pay to hear it. I tell them, and then I say terrible things, and they laugh at terrible things.
Yes.
And I say awful, awful things on this fucking show.
Yes.
I'm doing it, but I'm not going to run from it. If somebody pulls it up, they go, oh, I'm not going to go, oh my God, I can't believe I said it. No, I fucking said it, and I'll tell you why I said it. If you're gonna be a comic and you want to put yourself out there, you gotta expect the blowback. We all get blowback.
But that's the thing. Like I have on my website, my bit about the word retard,
mm-hmm.
and the context of retard. And basically, the joke is, you know, if it's in the guise of special needs children, saying that word is mean, hurtful, and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 35 living in your parents' basement going to Comic-Con, you're a retard. Now, I do that joke. Now, people, Adam Ferrara told me, you shouldn't have that on there, blah, blah, blah. It's still on it. Because if I get called on the carpet, I'll stand behind that. And I'll go there. I will stand and go, did you understand the preamble? That it is on the context of the word, where it is, if it is used against special needs people, it is wrong and mean. But in the other instance, you're a retard, you know?
You're saying that the meaning of the word is transcended
special needs
people, that it's just like you are just a special kind of dope.
Yeah. You know, it's in the context of the word. And I use another couple examples with the other word. I also do another joke in my act that I want a law passed that if you got the ass the size of a transit bus, you can't wear leggings. Now, with that joke, I also say, now hear me out. If you are a plus size person and you're sensibly dressed and I am making fun of you, I am wrong and I am a bully. However, if it looks like you're trying to smuggle two walruses out of an aquarium, it's fucking game on.
Well, the argument to that is, who are you to judge what sensibly dressed is? But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But the argument is, how dare you? But whatever. But the point is, Joe's putting stuff out there. I don't know how shocking that is, but he's owning it. You
right.
own the shit.
Right.
You got to own it.
But let's give you an example. Let's say, you know, it's out there now. Now, let's say...
I got something from this show.
Yeah.
I got something from this show.
Yeah.
Pip and I were alluding to it earlier. We had a bit, which was my brainchild,
mm-hmm.
which I okayed, which I asked you to write a bumper for, which we all did several times. Arabs on the Arts. It was utter shit. It was utter shit. You know why it was shit?
You're selling it too high. Utter shit.
But here's what
it
is.
You can fertilize with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a value.
Here was the premise. We're going to take these Arab voices,
yes.
Middle Eastern impressions, and we're going to talk about movies and shit like that. The whole gag was us doing god-awful Arab voices. You know what?
And they were.
They were terrible.
But you know what? Even if the voices were good, it's a shit bit.
It's terrible.
There was nothing great about that comedy.
No.
I would not do that now.
No, no, no.
But I would. But if I got called on, I go, yeah, you're right. It's shit. And I would say,
Who called you on that? Anybody listen to that but us?
No, we had it on the air, but I'm saying if anybody...
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, if anybody yeah, gets yeah. that big, you know what?
No.
Please don't look for that.
Because if he did, neither did we. That's the biggest piece of shit we ever wrote.
That's the difference. But that's
embarrassing.
The difference. Well, that was insulting. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
There was nothing good comedically. I agree.
Yeah.
It sucked. That's
it
why
was
after
terrible.
After several times, we stopped, because even I realized, there's nothing there. What am I doing? It's just insulting.
It just evolved into us making stupid
but
noises.
But that's got to be like at least 4 years ago, and we haven't approached anything like that.
No.
But the difference is owning it. That's,
right.
I'm not going to run from it. And we did evolve past it.
Yeah.
But I also go, hey, I'm the one who okayed it.
Right.
So that's us owning our shit. So I don't think you have to apologize. I don't think Shane had to apologize, especially if you don't mean it. And if you don't mean it, you're probably better off not apologizing.
Right.
You're probably better off being silent. Or get a fucking publicist to write it for you.
Yeah.
Do some. His apology was garbage.
Mm.
I think it made the situation worse. And I'm going to go through why.
Okay.
I'm going to go through why it's garbage. To say, actually, offended somebody. Like you don't believe people are offended. Either you believe people are offended or you don't believe they're offended. If you don't believe they have a right to be offended, then don't apologize. And I'll go, like, well, you know, he didn't think he did anything wrong. That's fine. That's his choice. Good for him. If you do think he did something wrong, like I just said with Arabs in the U.S., I would actually go, I am sorry. That was shit.
Yeah.
I didn't delete it because I'm owning it, but that was shit. I would apologize if Middle Eastern people called me up and go, yeah, man, it's sincere.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
sincere. I would never say, actually. Okay. So that's one thing.
You know what? I would say, actually, you got to be kidding me if you're getting all up in arms about this.
People are offended.
People are assholes. People need to lighten the fuck up. Oh, offended at what? What is that going to ruin your day? Is that going to put you in the hospital?
Listen,
is
I'm not,
that
say, I'm not
hurt
saying
you.
You
I mean, people have. We're turning into a society of fucking babies.
We've always been this way.
Words have the capacity to hurt, though.
Oh, please cut it out.
It's amazing that marriage didn't work.
It's
ridiculous.
You're an asshole.
Stupid bit like this, and people are up and on. People are stupid.
Well, actually, it's not.
We
just
live in a stupid society.
Well, you're
we've
part
gotten
of it.
Stupid.
No, we haven't. We've always been this way.
Yeah,
we've always been this
not
way.
Not to the effect that we are now.
Everybody just has a voice now that can get it out there. But we've always been offended. You know, the Smothers brothers were, you know, offended people. We've always been fucking offended. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it didn't cost them their jobs.
Well, hold on. First of all, it's not just this. So let's go into the apology. It just wasn't the one thing. So he goes, but yeah, people find that word offensive. Maybe you're not offended by it. I know you like, you know, when your pal puts on the Asian squinty glasses, you still find that funny. I know. I get it.
Oh, with the gong? Oh, it's hysterical.
I understand. A lot of people do not. It's all subjective. But I understand why people find it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if older people realize it. Like, I remember growing up, like, one of my parents would say, I don't know which one, like, oh, Chinese food, you want to go out for chinks? But it's like, now I don't know if they would say that, but I wouldn't say that.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think it's because I'm a sissy. Go, you know what? That could offend somebody. There's no need. There's no need. That I'm not in traffic where I'm going to use every fucking racial slur I have.
Well, when you're locked in a car, all those words are necessary.
Yes. Yeah, and I own it.
And it doesn't matter if those people have that background or
but
not.
But I'm not putting it out there and calling people because it's not.
No, it's not necessary. No.
So when you get called, I go, me no fucking know how to drive, yeah.
All that being said, in comedy, I'm not saying you can't use racial slurs or stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you can't do that and how dare you. I'm not that guy. In fact, it's one of the oldest forms of comedy. It often gets you cheap and easy laughs. I used to have more of it. I still have a little bit of it in my act.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not proud of it. Plenty of comics have it and have had it.
Jeez, I just watched a Dave Chappelle show, and there are plenty of N-words a-flying, and lots of racial stereotypes a-flying, and the guy is eating out on that. So, you know, you can't just say, oh, that's terrible, nobody uses it. Well, they do. Now, it depends on what you're saying.
Sean talks about, you know, groundbreaking and pushing boundaries. There was nothing groundbreaking or pushing boundaries. It was just fucking own that you said it. Don't try to make it something you weren't. You were not doing an art. I don't know if it was comedy or not. It was a comedy podcast, but it didn't seem like haha. I don't know what it was. It certainly wasn't on stage. It wasn't in joke form. I don't know how he meant it, but it wasn't groundbreaking.
Certainly not. It was kind of boring.
He probably got more publicity and more notoriety than he would have gotten ever being on a show.
But we're not talking about that.
Oh, I know, but I'm just.
If he became a star on the show, if you become one of the known players on the show, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
There's so many that are not.
Right. Well, that's true. Right.
It's another conversation.
Right. So, but yeah, he's not pushing around. Sometimes you go through it for a cheap laugh.
Yeah.
That's fine, but be honest about it. Listen, there's jokes in my act that I think are really good,
mm-hmm.
and there's some that go, you know what? I got to do some shit for the drunks.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not at the place where everybody's coming to see me.
Yeah.
I got to get invited back. So
yeah.
I get it. But comics need to stop acting like a victim when they say things that are meant to be, like I said, and they're getting attention. You're not a fucking victim. You knew what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a victim. You got exactly what you wanted. You can't. If you're running from it, now you're a pussy. Now you're a pussy. Own your shit. I have a problem with him talking about his comedy journey.
But I don't think he says, you know, pushes the brownie, and sometimes he misses.
Yeah, but he's not pushing boundaries with this.
Did you hear that?
You can do a racial. Ugh. You can use a racial slur and try to make a point.
He is pushing in the politically correct climate right now. You're pushing boundaries with that.
But he's not. No, he's not traversing anything new.
No, I didn't say that. But with the political climate, the way the climate is right now, so out of hand, he is pushing boundaries.
You know, we have people that are very puritanical, mm-hmm. that are pushing, and then we have people that are more crass than ever. We have both. So
yeah.
it's not just that everybody's squeamish. We got a bunch of people that are just being assholes to be assholes too. Mm-hmm. So we got both.
Absolutely.
So it's not like we're all afraid of words. I mean, we got people that are saying mean shit just to say mean shit.
Yes.
So we have both. But he talks about this journey. First of all, that the original comment was 2018.
Yeah, okay.
Not that much of a journey. You just called a presidential candidate in May a Jew chink. In May. You haven't taken a journey. It's fucking bullshit. Just go listen. I use it when I'm on these podcasts. Just, if you want to comment at all, but don't tell me you're taking a journey. I could tell you with the Arabs on the arts. I could legitimately say, I took a journey, we haven't done it in years, and we will never do it again.
And we wouldn't consider doing
exactly.
it
exactly. I could say yeah. that we learned right. from that. And there's enough years in between. Don't fucking use that same term in May and say that you're on a journey. You're not on a journey. It's part of what you do, which is fine, but own it.
You haven't evolved between now and May. Did you grow gills? No, you haven't evolved.
I'm not the guy that says you can't do it. I'm the guy that says do it, but own the shit. When I used to have the joke with the word nigga in it,
yeah.
you know, I would get told by people don't do it. I did it, and if the people did get pissed off, which wasn't too often, I owned it. The only time I was ever upset was when white people would get upset for black people. That pissed me off.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. When there's a room full of black people or a group of black people and a middle-aged white woman decides that she's going to be offended for the black people, that fucking annoys me.
Oh, yeah. It was the savior complex.
Yeah, I don't need that shit. So let's talk about this. All right, so let's talk about this a little bit of history for this show and decisions that we've made on this show. I look at the podcast he's doing. A lot of that audience is it's a racist audience. A lot of that audience. We were in that. We were on a platform where we were in that cauldron at one point.
Oh, yeah.
There was a period of time where we were in that cauldron.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was a decision we made, but I've told it before. I remember my parents tuned in, turned on the chat room, and there's nothing but swastikas.
Yeah.
And they mm-hmm. said horrible shit about Pip.
Yep.
They said horrible shit about Joe.
Yep.
Said horrible shit about me, but it didn't bother me.
Yeah, no, it was. I have to say, I was running the chat, and there was some tough stuff running past
my
face.
Most of those animals, those are most of those Reddit animals, you know.
Yeah,
but whatever.
It was what it was.
But they were racist fucking animals.
Yes.
And you know, and what I would do is I would let them come on the air, and I would go at them, and I won some of them over.
Yeah.
Because I would go toe to like there was like the one show where I fucking screamed at them, and then the rest of the time I'd let them talk. Okay, whatever,
yeah.
whatever. So when that period of our show came to an end,
right.
We never really had when the next incarnation of that platform came.
Yeah,
we never really had a serious talk about going there. I don't know if we could have. We may have or may not have. But it really wasn't something that interested me. I never really directly asked you guys, but I didn't want to do that show for those people.
Right.
It doesn't. You know. Listen, we'd probably be more successful. We'd probably be more well-known. We'd probably have more listeners to be on that platform. But I know those people are racist.
Yeah.
The same people that were commenting on Shane's podcast subreddit. I don't want to entertain them. I don't want to fucking cater to them.
No.
You know, I can't help who comes to my shows and whatever, but I can help if I put us.
Well, you're not catering them. You're not catering
this
to them.
This show could not survive on that platform because we don't do any of that shit, Joe. You know that.
Yeah.
But if you don't cater, how do you know? I mean, if you don't cater to them, you know, you would respect. You learn to get their respect that you're not catering
to. I don't want their
them.
Respect. I don't want a racist respect.
Yeah.
Do you really want a racist respect?
I could care less. I don't, you know, it's jokes, okay? And it's not like we're going to jump
in the
truck.
No, it's not about us. No, I'm saying I don't necessarily want those people to think I'm on their side. I'm not talking about all of them that listen there. I'm not saying that at all. But there is an element that we all know that we experienced directly. There is an element there. And I don't want to entertain them. I don't want to like them. I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to deal with racists in real as much as I can. It's not something I care to do. I am an adult. I can make decisions. And I don't want to put this there. But if you're going to do it, you're going to have to deal with it. And like I said earlier, you're going to have to decide how you're going to handle it. I mean, because if you call them on their shit, you're really going to get blowback from them.
Oh, God,
If Pip's controlling the checkout, listen, you racist motherfuckers, it's just going to come back twice as hard as you.
Yes, yes.
So, you know this, Joe. I'm not breaking news to you here.
But they're assholes.
I understand that. We agree. We're not disagreeing at all.
But I'm not going to let them ruin my day. I'm not going to let them slow me down.
I understand that, but... would you want to do every Tuesday night just fucking be exposed to the most vulgar, racist shit? Would you want to do that?
After a while, if you have talent, you would win that over. And you wouldn't have to, you would win their respect, and then you would be able to do a show and start to gain a following.
Because I think certain platforms get a reputation for being a certain, like, here, I'll give you an example. I won't even talk about the platform. Comedy clubs get a reputation for having a certain type of comic. So if your comedy club has a reputation for bringing in bar comics that are doing get or done jokes or vulgar jokes, blah, 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 it gets really hard by the time you have, like, a cerebral comic come in there, because the people who like cerebral comedy are no longer coming there.
They're not there.
They came there initially. So to take it off the platform, I kind of feel it's the same type of thing based on my experience in entertainment. I do think that if you use the N word instead of C word, chink, I think the firing would have happened quicker.
Oh yeah,
I think we do have a tolerance for Asian racial slurs. I mean, even by the way Joe reacted, like if it was the N word, I don't think he'd be laughing. And you know, I think we have for whatever reason, we have a tolerance that. All that being said. It's fucking ridiculous that comedians are held to a higher standard than elected fucking officials. It's absurd. Comics are constantly called onto the carpet for that shit, which is fine if you're going to call people that actually have real power onto the carpet for their shit.
Right.
You know what? If you're going to call elected officials for their racist shit, either side, left, right, whatever, indifferent, anti-Semitic shit, if you're going to and hold them and cost them their job and get them out of the office, then fine. Come at us. The comics.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. But if you're not prepared to do that, then you know what? You don't really have a fucking right. Because we're just easy targets. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this should allow us to say these things, but back the fuck up and look at what your priorities are.
Yeah.
Look at really what you're focusing on. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe and I disagree as far as what the power we have is. I think we have a little bit more power than Joe would give us credit for. That being said, we're not politicians. We don't have any real power. We can as Joe will point out, we can shine a light on some bullshit.
Yeah.
We can call attention to things. But we can't make laws. We can't make rules. I mean, occasionally you get somebody like Jon Stewart who influences lawmakers.
Right.
That's the best we can hope for, unless you get to be Al Franken who runs for office. In this job, we only have so much power, whether it be a Saturday Night Live host, doing a podcast, stand-up comic, actor, whatever the fuck it is. So why do you keep coming at us, but you don't want to come at the people with real power?
Yeah.
So I got to see, like I said, my opinion, I'm kind of all over the place with this.
No, because I understand what you're saying, though.
The reason it is because comics are traveling clowns. We're treated like traveling clowns. And the politicians are held to a higher standard because basically everybody thinks, why do you think that some B-level or C-level actor or reality celebrity goes, well, I'm gonna be putting my comedy show together, because it's like the step down.
Who are we talking about? Bagel Guy, Jeremy Piven, Stormy Daniels? Who are we looking at?
All three.
Did you see the video of the Bagel Guy?
Yeah, he yells.
Like a vault.
Yeah, I know, and we wears a mask. But
why did anybody expect anything different from his act?
But the thing about it is that. This is, well, I'll be a comic, because people think that there's no skill at all to be a comic.
Well, because people put these people on stage, Stormy Daniels, who at least has stories, or the Bagel Guy,
right,
who's got nothing. That's why everybody thinks they can do it.
Well, yeah, but...
He's put on a stage, built as a comic.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
And he put asses in seats. It'll stop. It'll probably stop.
It sounded like there was five guys there, to be honest with you. I don't know how many asses were in those seats.
That's what I said to Deb.
I think it was sold out. I don't know if it was sold out, but there was a decent crowd.
Didn't seem like a big
room. Yeah, people will be interested in him for a minute and a half and
whatever.
He's done.
Oh, right. Of course. But to the point is, so the thought in mind that, you know, anybody could be a comic. If somebody said, well, some, you know, person says that, you know, anybody can say that, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're going to hold you to a standard like that. You should be sick. Anybody could do that, but a politician. Politicians are held in a higher stature than comics, because people. Not anybody could be a politician in people's minds that don't do it, but anybody could be a comic.
All right, so let me go a little further, then we'll wrap this up. We'll move on with some other stuff.
Okay.
With the history that he has, Shane has of saying these things, whether it be faggot, chink, whatever, all the stuff.
Right.
I don't think he was the right fit for Saturday Night Live. They fucked up. I don't know. I don't know how Seth Simons can find this shit in 3 hours, who has no investment in this except getting his stupid name out there. So NBC fucked up. And here's why you can't put him in this situation. Here's why you can't hire this guy. First of all, keep in mind, in 2017, a Saturday Night Live writer wrote a tweet about Barron Trump. We covered it on the show.
Oh, yes.
And she said something like Barron Trump's going to be the first homeschooled mass shooter or something. And she was with the show for 4 years. Lorne Michaels fucking suspended her.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't Saturday Night Live of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Lorne has read the writing on the wall. He knows what he has to do now. Lorne has seen it's a different climate. He's not taking shit anymore. And he doesn't have to, just like any club gets to pick and choose. So say Shane is extremely talented. He must have killed that audition. Good for Shane. Here's the problem. This shit comes out. In order to work on Saturday Night Live, you have to work with a wide variety of writers and cast members. And it's very competitive to try to get your thing on that hour and a half show, which isn't really an hour and a half. It's probably about an hour and 10, or maybe an hour if you put in the musical acts and everything.
Sure.
It's very competitive. So, and it's a very diverse cast. I mean that in the way people think and the way people look and their race, their color, their sexual orientation. With that type of history, it's very easy to imagine people going, I don't want to work with that guy.
Right. You got to get writers to work with you.
You got to get writers
to write for you.
So if you have people who won't work with you, and I'm not saying this did happen, but Lauren could have been looking. He could have asked them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, can I bring this guy in? Will you guys work with him? And if they go, we don't want to work with him, then he's dead in the water.
Yeah.
He will never be productive there. It would be, you know, and that's just the reality. And, you know, and comics got to stop. And then I got to move on to something else. Comics got to stop with that he was owed Saturday Night Live. He wasn't, man. It's just like any gig. The club either books you or they don't book you. They either want you or they don't want you. A lot of the times the reasons are bullshit. Sometimes the reasons are good. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's one person making the decision. Lauren is the one making the decision. He's got a fucking empire. If he decided I don't want it, that's it. I mean, it sucks for Shane. I'm not happy he got fired.
No.
I mean, he's going to be fine. He's going to do very well.
Yeah, if he's that talented, he will.
He's a funny guy, and you know what? He's already got people running to his aid and comics. He's going to be fine. But this notion, how dare Saturday Night Live on NBC, a major corporation, a fucking bedrock of comedic entertainment for what, 30, 40, 40, we're going 45 years.
It was in the 70s,
But Eddie Murphy said this in the 80s, and this one said this in the 90s.
But yes, it's a different time.
It's a different time.
But here's the deal. You know, this is such a non-start. If this guy, for himself, the guy that dug the story up, Seth Simon, never mentioned. Nobody would care.
This is true.
Nobody would care. And you know what? Would comedy writers want to work? Look, comedy writers want to write good material. They don't care. Comedy writers also understand when, you know, you're writing a bit. That's the way it is. Maybe I'm old school. I'm coming from the National Lampoon sense of comedy. But if you're on a writing staff and if you're funny and you're writing a shit, I could care
less. Right,
but
these people are together hours. And if they just go, I don't want to be with somebody, like, it's a different time. You know, in that way, comedy was much coarser. Back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We're not there now. Lorne realizes this. And it's not a left-right thing, because he suspended his writer who he had for 4 years for a tweet, who actually gave a real fucking apologize. Lorne is saying, I'm not fucking playing games.
Right.
Knock the shit off. I'm giving you a huge platform. You want to play in my house, you're going to play in my rules. And that's what comics deal with in comedy clubs. It doesn't matter. You know, I talked about the leaning in, you know, condescending.
Right.
Well, I could be a dick about it and go, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. I should be able to do what I want on my show. Or I just go, okay, he's the manager of the club. Just fucking listen and do the thing. Do you want to play ball or do you not want to play ball? It's just like every other job. It comes down to one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks for Shane. He wasn't owed this thing. It sucks that it was dug up. It sucks that his apology sucked balls. You know, it sucked that people want to take this guy down.
It sucked that they didn't vet him properly in
the
first place.
The thing stinks.
Well, the whole thing with the vetting, you've got people right now that want to destroy careers. This guy wanted to destroy a career.
No, we're talking about NBC didn't vet.
NBC
Seth Simon
didn't
wanted
vet
to destroy
him.
A career. Yes.
No, Seth Simon. But
Seth Simon's no fucking hero.
Because Seth Simon, but he dug into stuff. Who cares? You can't. What is Saturday Night Live going to do? I mean, you know, they're going to. The guy was funny. He did a background check on him.
It's
he's
the same
a funny stuff.
It's the
you
same.
Know?
Listen, the tweet about Barron Trump was funny. A lot of people thought it was funny. A lot of people thought, who cares? A lot of other people didn't think, who cares?
Yeah.
A lot of
yeah.
other people were outraged. Like I told you, Lorne is reading the writing on the wall. Mm-hmm. He knows this isn't the 80s, you know, where they did this, or the 70s with the samurai and John Belushi.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he can't push that envelope right now. You might not like it. I'm not saying I like it. But if we want to survive and not be extinct, we have to understand. And Lorne understands.
Mm-hmm.
So you can fucking hate him for it, but it's his gig. And his job is to figure out what he can get away with in this climate and what he can't. And he's got no investment in Shane. None. It's not like this is Kate McKinnon, who blossomed and is a star.
Right.
And is just such a powerhouse on that show. He's got no investment in Shane. So
no.
He's looking, I haven't even brought you on.
Yeah.
You're already giving me a headache.
I got to cut bait.
You know what? If it's Kate McKinnon,
right.
We might get a suspension, and then she'll be back. Because he's invested a lot in Kate McKinnon, and she's a fucking bona fide star.
And they would have the whole PR place churning overtime to come up with a really good apology and figure out a strategy so that it would blow over quickly.
I'll bring it home to you, and then we'll move on, Joe. So it's like if you and I were both at Governor's, right? We're both at Governor's Comedy Club. You say something offensive. It's Joe. Joe's a good guy. He's one of ours. We love him. You know, we're gonna talk to Joe about this. But you know, Joe, you can't come in for a month. We got to cool the jets on you. You know, we just have to do it. We have to wait for it to die down. You'll be back. If I do it, I have no history with the club.
Yeah,
I say the same thing. Hey, guess who's not coming back anymore? And justifiably so. It's different rules for different people. I don't have the history at Governor's that Joe has. They've invested in Joe. Joe's invested in them. There's a mutual relationship.
Sure.
I'm just a guy starting there. It doesn't matter what I've done every place else. Makes no difference.
You walk in and shit the bed, done.
That's it. And that's the business.
Yeah.
So comics got to stop getting outraged. You know, maybe in the post, maybe in the Facebook.
But they do have their opinion.
That's fine.
The bullshit movie caved. You know, there's reasons why I cave, but it's just, you know, everybody's caging. Everybody caves. Everybody's apologizing.
You got to decide what hill you're going to die on.
It's going to transcend into the regular
to Lorne Michaels,
entertainment, and it's going
to... It already happened. But to Lorne Michaels, Shane Gillis was not the hill to die on.
Hmm.
That's what it was. If it was Eddie Murphy back in the day, if it was Kate McKinnon now, could be, not necessarily, a little different. Might be worth fighting for. That's all it is. It's a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on. So there was a lot there, but I think there was a lot more nuance to the shit that we were talking about.
Absolutely.
Than what you're seeing on Twitter and Facebook and at the, you know, I think there was a lot more to unpack.
Yeah, and there's a comedian's view of it.
Well, I mean, a lot of comedians are giving their view on it.
I'm sure.
But what do we do with people like Seth? Do you know this guy walks?
There's nothing
away,
we can do.
But we walk. This guy should be put out on the rails.
I agree.
You know,
his time. These people will get their time. Will come because they'll fuck up.
Yeah, because
remember that. Remember the lawyer for Stormy Daniels. What was his fucking name?
Avenatti.
Yes, remember Avenatti. His fucking shit didn't stink.
Right.
Yeah, he was all over the place, bringing Trump down, bop, 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 bop.
Oh, boy.
And then what happened? And then this shit came out on him. And now you don't hear from him no more.
Mm.
I mean, that's what's going to happen to a lot of these people.
Well, you know what I think is going to happen? Guys like Seth Simons, people are going to go after Seth Simons like he went after Shane Gillis dig up stuff on them.
Good,
and they're going to realize, they're going to there's going to get to a point, hopefully it'll be the tipping point, where people like him realize if you do this for notoriety or money or whatever, you're going to be skewered yourself. So you better think twice. It's like almost pulling a gun on somebody.
Hey, listen, when I went
and you get shot, hey, you know what? You got
to
When
I went after Avalos, first of all, I wasn't doing it to get famous. That certainly didn't happen. But I went out but you know, people told me I was nuts, bad things were going to happen.
Yeah.
But she was hurting people.
Yes, she was.
As stupid and as unfunny and maybe offensive as the shit Shane said, in the grand scheme of things, he wasn't hurting anybody.
No.
Well, I mean,
listen.
Maybe some people's feelings were hurt, but whatever.
That's fine that they're hurt, and they have a feeling to be hurt, but they can also ignore it at the end of the day.
Right.
Oh, that guy's an asshole. I'm never going to support him.
Right.
And you can move on with your life. I mean,
take your comedy dollars.
Avalos had people suicidal.
Yeah.
So I mean, there was a you pick your.
There
battle.
Are levels.
Yeah. Listen, Seth Simon got a name at Shane's.
Yeah.
Fucking
there's levels. You know, this is a very low level thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Seth Simon's not a hero. All right. Let's do his. Around the Rosie, bucket full of posies.
Of fool.
Right, this is about some students who put on blackface in Colorado. I'll play the clip, then we'll talk about
it. Forever, a reference to the Black Panther movie. CSU says First Amendment rights mean it cannot punish the students. The 19-year-old female seen in the picture is breaking her silence, apologizing in a statement saying in part, quote, "My mistakes have hurt others, and I deeply regret the pain that my ignorance has caused." Her dad spoke to us by phone.
There's a difference between hardcore racists. My daughter is devastated. She's getting death threats. You know, she's being called all kinds of obscene names.
Immediately, outrage brewed as students called on the university to punish those pictured here for racist behavior. Some say the university president did the best she could. CSU says it will share details next week on events focused on learning, healing, and reconciliation. Efforts to reach the other students seen in that picture were unsuccessful. On the CSU campus, I'm Michael Canapasa, Colorado Zone, Channel 2 News.
Okay, furthermore, they were explaining... What the fuck is that? Oh. They were explaining that they're not punishing the students because it's personal social media accounts and are not under jurisdiction, and that both students and employees can generally post whatever they wish to post on their personal online in accordance with the First Amendment's right. They don't really understand the First Amendment there.
No,
that has nothing to do with the First Amendment. This recent post runs counter to our principles of community, but it does not violate any Colorado State University rule or regulation. And the first,
why doesn't it agree with the First Amendment right?
Because the First Amendment protects free speech from government. Has nothing to do with your with where you go to school or your employer. Has nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't protect you from consequence. It protects you from persecution by the government. That's what the First Amendment is.
Right.
And we've covered countless stories where we've seen that students don't have First Amendment rights.
Right.
Where when they're in school, the school's policy, you know, whether it be dress code, haircuts, what they say, we covered it ad nauseum. On this show, so I don't understand this at all. This is some bullshit right here.
Yeah.
So I hope I explained that to you. Anyway, Leanna Kaplan, who has identified herself as one of the students in the photo, told the affiliate NBC statement that it was taken on September 7th while in the dorm room where she and her friends were experimenting with cosmetic facial masks. "I understand how awful this photo looks," Kaplan said. "The history of blackface is real and cannot be denied. I'm sorry. I hope this incident can be used as an opportunity for dialogue and learning. The blackface incident is just one of several reported cases of racism and bias at the university over the past year. In March, a men's restroom on campus was defaced with racist graffiti. In October of last year, homophobic messages were scrawled on a whiteboard in residence hall, including body-shaming phrases and phallic graphics. In its latest statement, the university said it has asked the staff to offer their thoughts on race and identity in light of the blackface image and the plans to share details in the coming days." All right. Here's my thing. Normally, I would say the fact that they are now everybody is fucking aware who these kids are.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's punishment enough. Normally, I would say in this situation, because it seems like these kids are getting a lot of grief. And death threats, fucking people, settle down. Settle the fuck down with the death threats, all right? They were assholes. They did something stupid. You have a right to be angry about it. You don't got to threaten people's lives, because now you're a bigger asshole.
Also, who was Wakanda?
Black Panther movie.
Was Black... Wakanda...
It's an African... It's an imaginary African nation.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Maybe the... Here's the deal. You gotta understand if they're nerds, if they're like nerds in the cartoon culture, maybe they like, you know, they like the movie, they like the characters, and they had the black paint and they put
Joe, I like the movie. I'm not wearing blackface.
But you got to understand it.
No. This wasn't that. She even said this wasn't that.
Well, they were just saying that they were playing around with makeup masks. There is a charcoal mask that you put on your face as a purifier.
Normally I would say the fact that these kids are outed is enough. As I said, that First Amendment argument is bullshit. The school could do something if you want. Here's the only reason why I think maybe these kids should be punished. And I don't mean expelled. I don't even know what you could do to punish them. Just because this school is having such a recent history that maybe you – and I hate to say this – maybe you have to make these kids an example. Mm. Whereas normally I would go, all right, this was fucking stupid, but you guys are catching hell. Better never do this shit again. Maybe you have to do something. I don't know what you can do. But maybe just because there's such a problem at this campus.
Well, you know, it just seems like every time there's some kind of issue like that at a workplace or, you know, like a school perhaps, you know, everybody talks about having sensitivity training.
It ain't working.
I don't think that it does a lot of good, but I mean, look, in this day and
age. Joe would tell you they're all very too sensitive as it is.
Sensitivity training is bullshit.
It worked on Joe.
But in this day and age, people. You can't wear blackface.
Yep. That's just the way it is.
You just can't.
Listen, I'm fine with whatever they decide, but the First Amendment argument is bullshit.
It's not correct. Is that me? Oh, it's the table. Squeaky. I brought it up because Joe's girl asked me, who's got the squeaky chair?
Stupid does over there. Like, knock it off. Stop rocking. There's not a dildo on there.
Oh. Well, I don't know what that is.
Joe, go into your toy bag.
But you know, you just it's not a First Amendment issue in that sense. Every place has to set standards for what's acceptable in their educational space, their workspace, whatever it is. It's really unfortunate that they're still like we still have to keep talking about it because, you know, there's new kids coming up and they're going, oh, we're just being silly. And it's like, no. You have to keep, it's just like people who go, I don't know if I believe the Holocaust is real. You have to keep pounding the points home.
Let's go to Rush Limbaugh and his slut shaming.
Let me just ask one more question on the First Amendment. I just looked at it. The First Amendment, it's the school, if the school feels that is a First Amendment right, which is granted not just by the law of the land, but the law of what their school might dictate their law, you know, the law of the school, that might they might also establish it into their school bylaws.
Yeah, but they feel but they didn't say that.
But
they didn't say that. They said the First Amendment. They didn't say we are strict adherents to the First Amendment in our bylaws. It's different.
They might have said that, but that might be the background on that. You don't think so?
You know what? I think they're full of shit because I think if one of their professors put something racist up there on the social media, that person will be gone. I don't buy that. Colorado State seems very fucking phony. I'm not buying their shit at all. All right. So Rush Limbaugh, this should be a much bigger story, but it's not. But we'll cover it anyway. He decided to slut-shame Crystal Ball. So she was a congressional candidate. She's an anchor on TV. She used to be on MSNBC. Now she's on The Hill, which I think is an online thing.
I wanted to share with you something that I have been thinking about, something that happened that I've been kind of trying to figure out what to do with. So my husband actually gets the Google alerts on my name because I don't always like to see everything that's being said about me online. And so he kind of filters through them and then tells me what I need to know or not. So the other day he came to me and he said, you know, I thought you should know about this thing that Rush Limbaugh said about you on his show. So I can pull up the transcript here. Here's what Mr. Limbaugh said about me. Remember the name Crystal Ball with a K? Some thought she was attractive. She was running for Congress and she got elected. Not true. And some tweets came out. She posed nude when she was 14 or 15. She was outraged. How dare you, I said. What do you expect to happen? You put a picture of yourself nude on Facebook or MySpace or, you know, my butt, whatever it is. Somebody's gonna find that stuff. So, first of all, I did not pose nude when I was 14 or 15. Facebook and MySpace did not even exist when I was 14 or 15. You know, I didn't tweet about anything related to that. I think what he's referring to here in a very bizarre way is the fact that when I did run for Congress, there were some party photos that came out of me that caused like the
dumbest scandals.
The dumbest. And so I think in the Trump era, this was so minimal that it was party photos that he felt the need to make this much more salacious in order to titillate his audience. So look, you know, something like this happens, you're like, do I just ignore it? Or do I want to say something about it? And the bottom line is, number one, he's got millions of followers, fans, and this transcript is out there online, so I wanted to correct the record. Number two, you know, not everyone has the platform that I have to be able to call him out and set the record straight, and I don't want to feel like he can just slime whoever he wants and get away with it with no accountability. But number three, if I did have some naked photos from when I was 14 or 15 or whenever, who freaking cares? It is not your job to be the moral police or to shame me or any other young woman who is out there who may have nude photos that come out. If they want to run for office, if they want to be political leaders, they still can. And I wanted to make sure that I was able to put that message out there.
I'm glad you did, Crystal. So disgusting, whatever he said about you. He should know about America's libel laws and that you would be fully within your rights in order to go after him. If you wanted to, and you're right, for everybody who's ever run for Congress, it's a lesson that your career and your success after that is really just a demonstration that this crap is not going to fly. And anybody on the right who wants to try and make this a thing, we can go outside.
I mean, look, slut shaming is an old tactic in American politics, in world politics. You know, it's used to say that women aren't worthy of being anything other than sexual objects. And frankly, it's bullshit. And I didn't want to let it slide without calling it out.
And you shouldn't. Thank you, Crystal.
All right. After Ball's public statements, Limbaugh backtracked slightly on what he'd said. He said, I was under the impression that when she ran for Congress, some nude photos of her from social media had surfaced. Well, it turns out that wasn't quite true. He went on to say, I honestly thought it was because I remember she got very upset that these pictures. She was very mad. And you, I remember, well, what do you expect? You know, you go on social media, you do whatever, somebody's going to find it and it's going to surface. It turns out they were party photos, whatever it was she was upset about. Limbaugh reiterated his point that there isn't any privacy on social media, particularly if you run for office. People are going to dive into it, and argued he wasn't slut-shaming Ball. People who engage in social media who desperately want to be famous, you're going to get it. You want to be famous, people are going to find a way to find out what you did. I was no moralizing at all. You think I'm going to be upset about some woman appearing nude somewhere? No, that's not going to bother me, he said. This isn't the first time Ball and Limbaugh have been at odds. In 2012, Ball launched a website, Boycott Rush, that called for a boycott of advertisers on Limbaugh's show following his incendiary comments about Sandra Fluke. Fluke, then a law student at Georgetown University, was invited by Democrats to speak at a hearing before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on so-called conscience clause exceptions for birth control coverage in health insurance plans. Limbaugh talked about the hearing and Fluke in a broadcast afterwards, calling her a slut and a prostitute. He was condemned by the public figures on both sides of the aisle and later issued an apology, but not before nearly 100 advertisers are dropped out of his show. That really changed talk radio, too, by the way.
Yeah.
HuffPost has reached out to Ball, Limbaugh, on Hill TV for a comment on Limbaugh's recent claims. So listen, here's the thing. Some people get the Limbaugh's an entertainer.
Right.
I know he's an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Not my cup of tea, but I know, but he's a very good entertainer. He's very good at what he does. That being said, too many people think this guy is a news source. They get their news from this guy.
Yeah.
He was fucking practically running the Republican Party not that long ago before Donald Trump came to power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was waiting to see what all the Republicans waiting to see what Rush Limbaugh would say. So he's got to be held to a higher standard. And this isn't the first time with this guy.
No.
This guy really should be suspended. I mean, he just I didn't know, I misremembered. Then don't fucking talk. Don't talk. If you don't, then open with, go, I'm not sure if this is how it went down, but I vaguely remember.
Or he could have said allegedly, or, you know, I honestly thought it was.
We've stuck up for Rush on this show, and many have not.
No, and we're not doing it right now.
No, we're not.
Because
no.
I honestly thought it was. You should, why didn't you fact check that?
Yeah.
Or here's the deal. Why didn't you fact check? You got intern. Well, I don't know if he has an intern. He works from his house in Florida. But why? But even that's
somebody's giving him the oxy.
But still, funny. Checkered past.
Where's your Seth Simon now?
Dash door.
He didn't know Seth Simon back then. That was like, no.
But twofold thing. It's like, I honestly thought it was. Well, why didn't you fact check it? Well, I was on a roll. I was in the middle of the show. So why didn't you say allegedly?
Right.
And
let's be honest. If Crystal Ball didn't have the platform that she had to fucking come back, he wouldn't have fucking corrected the record.
No, he wouldn't have, because he thinks because he's an entertainer, he gets to slander people.
No, I think he's got to, you know, and this should be more of a story. To me, this is more of a story than Shane Gillis's fuck up.
I think so, too.
Because Rush Limbaugh has a lot more power than Shane Gillis's.
Well, it might be if she decides to sue. If I was her, I would.
Maybe she
will. Like, I listen to Rush Limbaugh, you know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, I listen to the show, you know, and, you know, some of my views are in line with his.
He's proud of you, Jeff.
I understand that, but I don't follow him blindly. And also on this one, he used poor judgment on this.
And there's a pattern with women. There's a pattern here.
He has a problem with women. He doesn't think that women should have power.
So we all agree something should happen. This should be a bigger story.
Yes.
Some type of punishment.
I'm not
saying lose your job, but you know what? Maybe the station CEO goes, you know what, Rush, we're going to put you on a week break. You know what? We're not going to play you for 2 weeks, and we're going to tell the people why. Because people look up to you, and you got to get your facts straight.
Right.
You know.
And they need to know that sometimes his facts are suspect.
They need to reiterate, he's an entertainer. Don't get your facts from him, people.
Well, from a business standpoint, if you did lose sponsors and you go to those sponsors and go, look, he made a mistake, what would you like us to do? And if you say suspend him, you suspend him. He should be sued for slander. I would sue her for slander if he said something like that. Especially when there's no facts. And to tell you the truth, I honestly thought it was. Well, you want to know something, you really need to back stuff up if you're going to say that on a platform like that. You know how many times we'll do it here if we're going to post something or whatever, and we actually take a look at it to see what the backstory is on it. There's a lot of times I'll see something on Facebook, somebody will post something, and it's like, I think that's bullshit, or it might be a little bit more to it.
Because I'm watching.
So you think
wherever you post, I'm watching.
Probably are, you fucking creep.
Hey, don't be offensive to creeps.
But still, nonetheless, it's a good, you know, it's a good policy to have. Where, you know, we do it. We're used to it here because it's what we do. You know.
Well, so does Tate.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I fucking pounced on that one like Seth Simon on
and
SNL.
And well, you should. You know, because yes, he should.
He's got more people working on his crack, and I use that word on purpose, you staff, know, than we have.
And like I said, maybe he has an intern at his place in Florida, maybe he doesn't, but you got to
put down the Lipitor and fact check, stupid.
You know, but yeah, you really need to. He put his foot in cow shit.
All right. So now we have a decision to make because the hour is late. We will not be covering all of the stories. So, because I want to do some scammer stuff. So we are not going to do a great display of spite this week.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So our choice for the Facebook Live show is I can go over a few of the times, which I've told periodically on the show, when I have been banned from comedy clubs for nonsense.
Oh, those are good. Yeah.
Or we could do the Bang Brothers story on the Facebook Live portion of the show.
I want to do the Bang Brothers story.
You want to do that on the Facebook Live?
Bang.
Yeah. You want to do that?
Bang.
So my stories of being banned and how I was wrong, and there's no justice for Davin, and where's my hashtag? We'll have to wait for another time.
Well, no. You know what? I'm sure we'll have another opportunity for you to tell them.
I know, but it's important. It's prescient now. But we shall do Bang Brothers.
All right.
On the break, I need to find the music I want to play right now.
She bangs. She bangs.
That is not the music.
Oh, that's too bad.
I want to find a short song. You know what? I'll play. You know what? I saw a little bit of the roast. I haven't watched it all. Excellent, by the way.
Which one?
The Alec Baldwin roast.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
You would enjoy. Excellent writing. Everybody did well. Yeah, everybody did well. But Caitlyn Jenner was on the panel, so what we'll do is we'll take a break and we'll play a Paul Bond song about Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, dear.
Short break, come back, do some scammers, then we'll do some Facebook Live on the Bang Brothers, and then we'll say nighty-night.